Joey was a fascinating person. And again, you have to remember, this is the mid-90s. Styles were a little bit different. I know, I'm not sure if things have come around a little bit nowadays, but so I never forget, it was the first night of yeshiva. Everyone's there, everyone's sitting around. Where I was, the dorm was a big house. So everyone was relaxing, chilling in the living room of the house. We're all there. Joey walks in, and everyone's there. And he was, you know, we were all typical. It was MTA guys, it was JC guys, it was, you know, kind of run-of-the-mill yeshiva day school guys. Joey walks in. He was from Canada. He's a little bit different. Went to like a non-denominational Jewish high school. And he walks in with ripped jeans and Guns N' Roses t-shirt, a black leather jacket, chains all over the place, an earring in his left ear. And again, just a little bit different. You know, everyone's, you know, friendly, schmoozing, getting to know each other. Great. About 2 weeks later, 2 weeks into yeshiva, Joey walks back in after night seder. Again, we had all learned at night a little bit. We came back. It was about, I don't know, about 9 o'clock or so in the dorm. Joey walks into the dorm. All of a sudden, no ripped jeans, no Guns N' Roses t-shirt, no black leather jacket. He comes in a white shirt, black pants, hat, black suit jacket, and we're all staring at him, waiting to kind of like, when the world's going on here. Joey walks into the dorm, he takes the earring out of his ear, walks to the balcony of the dorm, and throws it off the balcony into this huge ravine next to the dorm. We're going like, what in the world is going on here? So why would he do all those things? Why would he change himself? Why would he do all those things? Like, everyone thought he was just absolutely insane. No one could figure out what was going on. About 2 weeks later, into yeshiva, Joey comes back again after night seder. You know, ripped jeans, Guns N' Roses t-shirt, black leather jacket. Certainly there were other probably chemicals inside of his body that made it hard for Joey to communicate to us in a lucid, intellectual fashion. And Joey was not really in a place to engage in spiritual, intense conversation. So Joey was somebody who was back and forth and like a religious yo-yo, up and down throughout his year in Israel. Eventually, I heard he kind of got it together, but he never kind of like got into like a rhythm of like what he was trying to accomplish in Judaism. This story has stayed with me for many, many years, and I've often thought about what it is that Joey was missing. What was it that Joey perhaps wasn't able to fully articulate for himself, like where he was going? And you know, how that had lessons both for my own life, as well as my children, and God willing, for my students. So, as the more I thought about it, I often come back to a question and kind of frame it in the light of, you know, like we're in the, you know, now the period of Sfiras HaOmer, of counting every single day, and today was Lag BaOmer. It's something which is very, very special. So just like I wanted to just bring up one or two questions that are, you know, that are brought up by many of the commentators, then we can kind of bring it together and make it very, very practical. Again, it's all about being real, right, and making Torah apply to our lives. The question is brought up by many of the commentators is, well, you know that in all mitzvos that we do, and everything that we do in Judaism, whenever we do something for the first time in a year, whether we eat matzah, we light Hanukkah candles, we shake a lulav and esrog on Sukkot, we always make a bracha of a shechianu. We thank God that we have the ability, the privilege, to do this mitzvah once again this time of year. So the question is brought up, why is there no shechianu on the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer? We come the second night of Pesach, we come with our families, and this year, obviously it was a little different, we weren't with perhaps all of our extended family, but we do the best that we can with our families. The second night of Pesach, we got up to count the Sfira, but there was no bracha of Shechianu. The question is, why not? And there are so many different answers, at least 10, 11 answers given by all different people. One of the famous ones is that perhaps that it's, you know, it's a time of, you know, it's a time of sadness, that we can't possibly make a Shechianu. Again, it's because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash today, it's not a complete mitzvah. However, there's a comment that I'm always very fond of, and I think that it's incredibly powerful and incredibly practical for us. There's a comment to the Baal Mor that says that when we have a mitzvah, we only make the bracha of Shechianu when we complete the mitzvah that moment. Right, I pick up my lulav and esrog, I'm good, I'm done. I go and I light the Hanukkah candles for the first night, mitzvah, check, done. I eat matzah, check, done. But what about Sfiras HaOmer? Sfiras HaOmer, says the Baal Mor, is a 49-day trek. from Pesach till Shavuos. We have to go. It's a long path. We can't just be done on Pesach night because we have to work every single day towards getting the Torah. When we come to Shavuos, the goal is to be ready, to be prepared for accepting the Torah from God. We have to be ready. So we have 49 days to work on ourselves, to prepare ourselves slowly, slowly, slowly. It's a process. We have to trust the process. We have to go through, and every single day, through Pesach Shavuos, continuously work on ourselves, so the mitzvah is not done until we get to Shavuos. We can't make the bracha then. Rav Soloveitchik also pointed out, that's why also we don't make the bracha at our chuppah. You ever wonder that? You ever been to a Jewish wedding? Been to a chuppah? You ever notice? No she'achyanu. It's also odd, right? At the bracha, you imagine it's one of the most important days of our lives. We're so thankful. Everyone's crying. Everyone's excited. It's a beautiful, some beautiful things in the world, the Jewish wedding. You know, you come to the wedding, and you would think of all the things we say at a Jewish wedding, right? She'achyanu, v'kiyamanu, v'giyanu, hazman hazeh, we've got to this place. Says with the Rav, you know why we don't? Because God willing, you'll have decades and decades and decades together with your spouse to work on yourself, continuously work. The mitzvah of marriage is never done. It's all the way through decades and decades of your life. Judaism, growth in Judaism, is all about continuous growth, consistency, day in, day out, working hard all the way through, not ups and downs, right? Joey, right? Imagine the story. Ups and downs, 1 week yes, 1 week no, I'm not sure. It's not about being perfect. No one's perfect, but it's about continuously working and striving for growth. That Rebbe, who I mentioned in the beginning, who passed away, used to always tell us that life in Judaism is always about walking up a down escalator. And if your person runs up a down escalator, an endless escalator, endless, you'll run and run, sprint up the escalator, you're just going to be exhausted and you're going to fall right down. But if a person just stands still on the down escalator, they continuously go down. The goal is to slowly trek, push, one step after another step after another step, continuously go, growing day after day, each and every day, to continuously push so we can continuously focus on growing as a Jew. That's the goal. The goal of Judaism is to, every single day to work. I had a relative that had gone through NCSY many, many years ago that she started off, she grew up in a town in northern Westchester, and she got involved through, she went to Sama Schechter, and then she went to NCSY, and she went to all different regionals and Shabbaton, and she got incredibly involved, and she got more religious throughout the years. So the relative, so she, you know, after a while, her parents were not Shomer Shabbos. She didn't know what to do. She wanted to keep Shabbos, but her parents were not Shomer Shabbos. And she was really torn. And it often happens like when we want to choose things that perhaps our parents are not ready for, and it can create certainly, you know, some conflict and some, you know, it's hard to always balance that. So this relative didn't know what to do. So she went to her NCSY regional director, Rabbi Jeffrey Greenberg, Shlita. You know, if anyone knows Rabbi G, famed NCSY director. She went to Rabbi G. And so she said, Rabbi G, what should I do? I want to keep Shabbos. I want to start keeping Shabbos. She didn't know what Shabbos really meant. But what should I do? So Rabbi G said, have you ever kept a whole Shabbos before? She said, of course not. I don't know. I didn't know what, I just heard about the Shabbos thing. So he said, I'll tell you what. He said, Friday night, when your friends want to go out Friday night, just kind of stay home. You can read, you can relax, you can chill on the couch. But Shabbos morning, you should go out to the mall. You should go hang out, go with your friends in the car. If they want to go to a McDonald's in the afternoon, you should go with them. So Rabbi G amazingly, you know, told her that, again, slowly, because he knew, he was a chacham, he knew that after, you know what happened after a few months, and again, slowly, months, eventually, she came back to Rabbi G and said, Rabbi G, you know what, Friday night's awesome, I'm sorry, I have a sitter, I'm looking inside, I'm reading, I'm talking to my NCSY advisor, Shabbos morning, you know, I think I want to keep Shabbos. He's like, oh, okay, great, so you should keep Shabbos. And again, slowly, 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 and eventually, after, I don't know, 2 years or so of slowly, slowly pushing through and developing and growth, and now Baruch Hashem, she's a Rebbetzin with many children, but thank God, but it took years and years and years of growth. And that's the focus of Judaism. It's slow, consistent, continuous growth. And with this also, we can begin to understand perhaps another question that's brought up. We know that if a person, we're supposed to count every single day. What happens if we don't count Sfira Sa'omer for a whole day? So we assume, like the Bahag, like the Baal Halachas Gedolos, one of the great medieval commentaries, that a person has to stop counting, even, you know, certainly with not making a bracha, but perhaps even stop counting, and they cannot continue their mitzvah till Shavuos. The odd part is that, you know what the Bahag holds? He holds that the mitzvah of Sfira Sa'omer from Pesach to Shavuos is one long day, one long mitzvah. But if it's one long mitzvah, so, right, so the bigger question is, why, according to him, is there a bracha every single day? Why do you make a blessing every single day on a mitzvah that's one long mitzvah? For Hershel Shechter Shlita, our Rebbe from the Rosh Kol NYU, points out that it's true, it's one long mitzvah. But you know what you have to do to have day 17 of the Sfiras Omer? You have to have day 16 of the Sfiras Omer. It's very nice that it's one long mitzvah preparing Shavuos. But we know what we need to do? Have every single day, step by step by step, consistently, day after day, every single day, full of growth. And I wanted to share one more idea with you. It's something to think about it, especially, it's always important to learn from our holy mothers in Klal Yisrael, that Sara Imenu, our holy mother, our foremother, that Sara said that after she, at the end of her life, she passed away. And it describes in the Torah something very odd. It says when Sara Imenu passed away, it says she was 175. It says it's very odd the way it describes the way that she died. Rashi says, you know why it describes oddly how the years, how old she was when she passed away? Rashi says, because all her years were good. All her days were kulam shavim atova. All her days were equally good. What does that mean? All her days were good. So if you know the story, Sarah had a very hard life. She had to leave her family to go with her husband to go to a mission because there's some God told him to go there. And then she couldn't have children for decades. And then once she had a child, that child was taken away. It's very odd. She had a great life. When she was kidnapped by Pharaoh. She had a terrible life. You know what we had learned from Sarah Imenu? It's not that every day was exciting. Every day was awesome. Every day was so much fun. Every day was not so much fun always. But we know what every day was? It was tov. It was good. It was meaningful. It was consistent. Every single day of her life was positive. And that's the lesson from Sara Imenu, that to wake up every morning is a privilege. Every morning, even though we know it's hard in this day, in this time of quarantine, we're here, every day is kind of the same, right? I thank God that we have, at the end of Davening, the Shir Shayom, to know what day it is. And every day, sometimes it's hard to know what day it is. And I know, you know, my students tell me that they have night pajamas and day pajamas, right? And it's sometimes hard to know what's going on in the world. And it becomes a big mush of days. But it's a privilege, an opportunity. It's a mission statement that every day to wake up and have a powerful day. Every day to wake up and have an impactful day on us and the world. And I'll leave you with a story to think about. There was one of the great Gedolim who passed away in 1986, one of the great rabbis, was Rav Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky, the Stipler Gaon, he was known. He's a super genius. The Stipler did not drive, and there are many, many stories about the Stipler and his taxi drivers. So one time the Stipler had gotten to a cab, and he was going wherever he was going. This time the taxi driver, the cab driver in Eretz Yisrael, happened to be an Orthodox Jew. He comes in. And, you know, if you've been in Israel, so you know that often the taxi drivers, they're hysterical, and they're great to schmooze with. And, the hard part is that you always want to practice your Hebrew, but they want to practice their English, so you never really get to have a good conversation with them. But, anyway, so the disciple was speaking Hebrew to this Israeli cab driver, and he starts schmoozing with him. And so he asked him, you know, how hard, what's it like being a taxi driver? You know, what are your hours? And all of a sudden, like in the middle of the side road, taxi driver puts the car into brake, slams on the emergency brake, and breaks down in tears. The Stipler is like, oh my gosh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to insult you, I hope you'll be okay. He's like, why are you crying? And all of a sudden, he starts like pouring out emotions. And he says, Rabbi, my life is so hard. I work for 18 hours a day, and I make pennies to support my family. I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I quickly have a few minutes of daven, shacharis, and then mincha. And I finally finish at 9:45 at night, and I run over to my local shul, and I sit down at the Gemara Daf Yomi Shir at 10 o'clock at Davin Mariv, and I sit down at the Gemara Daf Yomi Shir, and every single day, consistently, after 2 minutes, I fall asleep. Every single day. Rabbi, I have been going to this Daf Yomi Shir for 20 years, and I have not learned more than 2 minutes per day for 20 years. The stipler turns to him and says, Tzaddik, don't you know that your 2 minutes a day are more special in the eyes of God than all of my Torah that I learn the whole day? Wow, it's powerful. Right? You think about it for a minute. Just try to process and think about it. Those 2 minutes of optional learning that person did, that he tried to do over and above that which he had to do for his work, that was more special in God's eyes than all the learning the stipler did the whole day. It's that consistent little bit, day in and day out, every single day, is what God willing will bring us closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, will bring us closer to become better Jews. And that's the goal of Sirasa Omer, is to go from now, from Pesach till Shavuos, every single day, day in and day out, to have every single day, Kulam Shavuot Tova, to have every single day, to make every single day a good day. So Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us strength to make every day a good day. Thank you very much for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
That was amazing. Thank you so much, Rabbi Shenk. It was a real privilege and real pleasure to have you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Anytime. Please. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
I think that was so beautiful and so well said. And also, I was reading in the Nefesh Chaya recently, and he was talking about, the author of the book was talking about how you see these big Rebbeim, and they look a little bit intimidating, like, wow, how can I accomplish what they can? I'm only me. But he was saying that if their whole life is like one, it's like greatness. You aspire to that, that's greatness. So if I just read like one page a day, that's like a glimmer of greatness. And you like make a bracha one time, that's a glimmer of greatness. And you build up these small glimmers, and they bring something like almost sparkly, but you can't have the big picture without one little thing each day. So I thought that was great. So thank you.
For sure. If you're familiar with, there's a concept in Rav Eliyahu Dessler writes, and there's a sefer called Michtav Eliyahu, Strive for Truth. If you haven't read it yet, I highly recommend it. So he has an article there called the Kuntras HaBechira, where he develops an idea called the Nekudas HaBechira, where he says every person has their point of choice. And for some people, they struggle with, how can I learn for 10 hours a day? And for some people, they struggle with, how can I learn for 2 minutes a day? So as long as you're finding that point where you're struggling every day, that's all God wants from us, is to find what works, where's my struggling point? And if it's, God willing, maybe one day it'll be 10 hours a day. But if it's 2 minutes a day, or my struggling point is keeping Shabbos, or my struggling point is keeping Kashrus, whatever your struggle point is, that's all God wants from us in this world. And then that's where we shall, God willing, striving for.
Okay, Yashigayach. Okay. Very much to Rav Shenker, Shkreftini, thank you for that.
Okay.
Input.